Wall Street's Butterfly Effect.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Wall Street's triple-digit decline Thursday walloped Asia today. Markets in Hong Kong and Taiwan sank 3%, a 2% decline for the markets in Japan, South Korea, and Singapore. Same deal in China, where Scott Tong looks at what happened.
Here's the fear in China, that a weakening American economy means fewer work this holiday season for Santa Claus and his Chinese elves.
The main link between the Chinese economy and the U.S. economy is still the U.S. consumer.
William Hess in Beijing is with a forecasting firm, Global Insight.
The recent relatively weak consumer data would indicate that maybe in the medium term that imports from China may slow down, and certainly exports have been driving a lot of Chinese growth.
But market trepidation out here also reflects the alternative economic universe that is China, that it's running too hot. GDP is growing at 11.5%, and stocks have doubled this year. Beijing wants to cool it all down with interest rate hikes. That would also address the growing whispers of inflation. The cost of fuel, wages, and food are all up. Not a good time for the American Christmas orders to go down. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Then, of course, there's Europe. Stephen Beard in London has been tracking market activity there this morning.
Wall Street's turmoil spread swiftly across the Atlantic yesterday afternoon. London, Frankfurt, and Paris all recorded heavy falls of up to 2%. The falls continued this morning. After yesterday's renewed concerns about Citigroup, there's a growing worry about credit. The fear is that the crunch, which began in August, could be entering a second, nastier phase. Because the world's biggest banks could be nursing even heavier subprime-related losses, they may be preparing to turn off the tap. David Buick of stockbroker BGC Partners.
If banks become vigilant because they're uncertain about their provisions for bad debt, they're not going to lend money so gleefully to new enterprise, which of course gives the world's economy the growth it requires.
His firm is forecasting more stock market turbulence in the weeks running up to Christmas. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
European markets are down today as well. As for Wall Street Thursday, the Dow closed down 362 points to 13,567. The S&P closed down 41 to 1508, and the Nasdaq closed down 65 to 2794. Today, Gulf state nations decided to match our Fed's rate cut, even though inflation there suggests raising rates might be wiser. Later this morning, the Bureau of Labor Statistics releases September's unemployment numbers. It's been stuck around 4.7% for months. Marketplace's Steve Henn says job seekers are increasingly glum about their prospects.
Earlier this week, the Conference Board released its monthly consumer confidence report, and on-the-ground impressions of the U.S. job market are getting bleaker. Jared Bernstein's an economist at the Economic Policy Institute.
The share that say jobs are hard to get is the highest it's been since late 2005. The share that say jobs are plentiful is the lowest it's been.
But back in the fall of 2005, the unemployment rate was actually quite a bit worse. So why are so many Americans pessimistic about their job prospects? Bernstein thinks it has something to do with this.
Job growth, job creation has been pretty unimpressive.
Since March of 2001, the total number of people employed in the U.S. has risen just 4.3%. Job growth in the 90s was more than twice that. In fact, job growth has been so sluggish that many people have stopped looking. And the percentage of the population that's left the labor force is hovering right around a 10-year high. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report for Friday, November 2nd on Marketplace.org. The $100 barrel of oil is looming large as oil prices hit 96 bucks a barrel this week. Dan Gretsch looks at why we haven't seen that cascade to the pumps yet.
The main ingredient of gasoline is light sweet crude. So with oil at record highs, you'd expect gas prices to be way up as well. But that hasn't happened. Analysts estimate that regular unleaded gasoline is a good 15 cents cheaper than the price of crude would suggest. oil analyst Jim Burkhardt is with Cambridge Energy Research Associates. He says this discrepancy has to do with the amount of money refiners make on each barrel of oil, also known as the refining margin.
The refining margin has declined quite a bit from the spring up until now, so that has mitigated some of the increase in the gasoline price.
Refining margins plunged from $37 a barrel in May to under $3 a barrel last month. The good news for drivers ends there.
If crude oil prices continue to rise, over the next several weeks, we're likely to see higher gasoline prices as well.
I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
A tourism advocacy group says the U.S. is perceived as unwelcoming and that tourism is taking a direct hit from that perception. The group Discover America says the U.S. has experienced a 17% decline in visitors since September 11th. The price tag for all this? $94 billion in lost visitor spending. Meanwhile, remember that passport backlog here in the U.S.? A congressional inquiry says the government has been gouging passport seekers to the tune of over $100 million. The panel is asking the government to consider lowering the fees charged for passports. This week, the Chronicle of Philanthropy said donations to the largest U.S. charities are up 4.3% this year. The United Way and the Red Cross clocked in at numbers 1 and 2 with the top contributions. Meanwhile, a new market of sorts is starting to track the nonprofit world. Here's Jill Barchet.
Jeff Tuller spent 8 years on Wall Street. When he left the financial world, he decided to go into charity work.
I used to work for the dark side. I started out doing mortgage-backed securities at Bear Stearns. I'm buying my soul back in stages on layaway.
But he says it was impossible to figure out which nonprofits were any good. Many are secretive and don't report exactly what happens to their money. So Tuller decided to bring a little Wall Street into the nonprofit world. He calls his new idea Social Markets, the first ever nonprofit stock exchange. It's certainly nonprofit. Tuller's using his own money, and charities don't have to pay to list. They feed Tuller data on their projects, and he assigns dollar values to all of their activities. The ones that accomplish their goals will rise in value, he says. The ones that fail will tank.
The idea is that people are going to be funding. They're going to say, you know what, I'm willing to quote-unquote invest in that project because I think I like the Sierra Club's return on investment.
Social Markets rings its opening bell on November 21st. Brandy Cruthert of FitKids is one of five charities that are listing a total of 70 projects. She's hoping her listings will lure donors.
I'm excited. What it does is it holds me accountable. Eventually, everyone's going to be held accountable. People want to know what they're giving to and want to see outcomes.
But not everyone is sure that charitable outcomes can be quantified. Trent Stamp doesn't think they can. He's president of Charity Navigator, which rates how well charities are managed.
There is a fundamental difference between charities and Wall Street. We can't just measure the bottom line when it comes to charities. We have to measure whether they're doing their work with passion, with purpose, whether they're honoring people, whether they're keeping up with the public trust.
Tuller wants to find a way to put a dollar value on these qualities, too. He's hoping that once donors have a real idea of a project's value, they'll be able to trade their investments and make Social Markets a true nonprofit exchange. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.